Parenting is hard. Here's the good news. There are just a few things that every kid needs to hear. It does not matter if they have a big family or no family. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. It doesn't even matter if they're toddlers learning to walk and talk, or teenagers learning to date and drive. Join us as we examine five things every kid needs to hear over and over. And remember, everyone can have an influence in a child's life.
So this morning we're continuing a sermon series called Five Things Every Kid Needs to Hear Over and Over. If you didn't get a copy of the book either last week or this morning, please grab one. We have some copies for free on the back table there. Five things every kid needs to hear over and over. And the premise of this series is this. Parenting is hard. Parenting is hard. But here's the good news. There's just a few things that every kid needs to hear over and over and over and over that can really help them navigate the rough terrain of their lives. There's just a few key truths that can form a firm foundation for their lives. So let's take a look at these five things together. You are loved, you have value, you have a purpose. Not everything is about you, but I'm glad you're here. So last week we said that every kid has a few questions that just go to the core of their being, questions of identity, purpose, and value. Kids want to know, who am I? Why am I here? Do I matter? Now, if we're honest, these questions aren't just for kids. These are questions we still ask today as adults. And the reason that is that these are universal human questions. Now, the answers to these questions form us throughout our whole lives for good and for bad sometimes. So this morning, we're going to look at the second thing that every kid needs to hear over and over. It's this. You have value. You have value. You are made in the image of God. In Christ, you are not defined by what you do, but by who made you. And what God has done in and through your life. You were rescued. You were redeemed from sin and death at the cost of the life of the Son of God from heaven. And so your life has infinite worth. So if you have a Bible or your Bible app, please grab it and open it to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 25. If you're not sure where Matthew is, look it up in the table of contents. I want you to see the words from God's word. So we're going to read through this passage. I'm going to briefly unpack it. And I hope today that you see just how valuable you are to God. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or where shall we, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Is that not true? This is God's word. Now, we all love superhero stories. And by we all, I mean the world. The whole world, every culture, every place, every language loves a good superhero story. From Harry Potter to the Lord of the Rings to all of the Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies. I mean, sure, you may not be into one of those, but probably you're into one of those series that I mentioned. People all over the world pay billions of dollars to go see what's essentially the same basic plot over and over and over and over. We really love to watch movies where characters who tend to start out kind of normal or sort of dysfunctional discover, find that they have some sort of extraordinary ability, magic or superpower or something like that. And these characters, they band together to face improbable odds and defeat the forces of evil and save the world yet again. Have you ever thought about the fact that that's essentially the same plot in every movie? I've probably seen 25 movies with that plot in the last 10 years. And I love it. We love it. People love it over and over. We want to see superheroes fight against evil and win. Now, here's the problem for kids. And this is true whether you're a parent or not, whether you're a teacher or a mentor or you're a volunteer in our Gospel Kids team or a youth leader or you have any sort of influence in a child's life. Here's the problem for kids. At some point, most kids come to the somewhat disturbing realization that they're very normal. Now, if anyone popped into your head, let me just say normal is a spectrum, okay? There's a degree, different degrees of normal. Relatively normal, let's say. The kids aren't the superheroes they watch on Netflix. They're not the people they see as they lounge in a dream lounger at the theater. They're not invincible. Most kids are relatively normal with relatively common strengths and weaknesses, ordinary successes and failures, and maybe so far undetected super abilities and superpowers. So what if I'm just a normal kid? They might think. Do I still have value? What if I never do anything extraordinary in my life? Or if I ever have superpowers? What if I'm not all that popular? Or if I'm not even that particularly athletic? What if I don't get a scholarship? What if I don't win an award? What if I never make $1 million or found some famous tech company? Does my life still matter? Great questions. What gives a person value? How do you know what your life is worth? This is such an essential concept for human beings to understand because your sense of worth becomes the lens through which you see everything in the world. Your relationships, your accomplishments, your struggles, your expectations, everything. Now let's look back at our passage for today. So in Matthew chapter 6, this is the middle of a famous sermon of Jesus. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And this material that's recorded in Matthew's gospel, or his account of Jesus' life, ministry, teaching, but also his death and resurrection from the dead. This account of the teaching of Jesus is a very long section of his teaching, one of the longest sections of the teaching of Jesus in the Bible. And so it's rightly very well known. Jesus was teaching to a huge crowd of people that had gathered to come and hear him teach and maybe be healed, maybe see some sort of miraculous sign of his, just see Jesus be Jesus, in other words. And right here in the middle of this message, he gives a teaching on what's really about a couple different things. It's about worry. It's about money. It's about value. So Jesus is preaching this sermon. Now, the whole Sermon on the Mount is about the counterintuitive, almost upside down kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God. Totally different than the kingdoms of this world. Jesus had just been teaching that you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. It doesn't work. And now the natural pushback against that teaching is, but wait, Jesus, I mean, we need money in order to pay for things, right? I mean, we need clothes, we need food. There's a couple basic things that we need to provide. We need provided for us in our lives. So in verse 25, he addresses this objection. Verse 25 says, therefore, in light of this teaching on serving God and money, I tell you, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Jesus is saying, look, the purpose of life is so much higher than just going to work to earn money to buy the things. Life is so much bigger than that. Now, that is what we all spend most of our lives doing, working. And the payment for our work provides for ourselves, provides for our needs and our families. It can be a blessing to the city, to the community, to the world. And those things are good things. But Jesus is just saying, he is saying that the pursuit of wealth pay for things is not the substance of life. It is so much more. So in verse 26, he gives us an example from everyday life. Look at the birds of the air. Now, he was preaching out in public. So when he says, look at the birds, this isn't figurative. Probably he's like, look at the birds, look around you. Look at the creation of God. Look at nature as an example. The birds don't sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And here's the line that I want us to focus on. This is just an assumption of Jesus, but this is a really big deal. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable than the birds of the air? I mean, the rhetorical answer would be, well, yeah, yes, we are. Look how God provides for the birds. Are they worried all the time? Are they stressed out? No, they're not. They're just being birds, living their bird lives. Wouldn't that be nice to not be worried all the time, to not be stressed out all the time? Wouldn't it be nice to live like that? So Jesus goes on to direct our attention to the flowers of the field. Are the flowers worried all the time? Are they stressed out? I don't think so. But here's the issue in our lives. This is what he says at the end of verse 30. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now, Jesus exposes in a way that just is brilliant, and only Jesus teaches like this. He presses in right to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is a matter of faith. You have little faith. Don't you see why you're worried all the time? You're forgetting that your Father in heaven knows what you need. And you're forgetting that you are so, so valuable to him. Earlier in his sermon, Jesus said, your Father in heaven knows what you need even before you ask him in prayer. Later in his sermon, Jesus will say, your Father in heaven loves to give good gifts to those who ask him. So his conclusion to this line of thinking is found in verses 33 and 34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, in light of this teaching, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can you take a breath with me? What do you need to worry about today? You don't need to worry about tomorrow today. Tomorrow will have enough trouble of its own. You can worry about tomorrow tomorrow. But part of our worry, part of our stress and anxiety is coming from our lack of faith, really, in the person of our Father in heaven, in his willingness to provide for us, and who we are in him as his child. So Jesus says, focus on what's most important. Don't worry. The rest of this will be given to you. Now, again, as I did last week, I so did today, I picked out a passage of scripture that should be a sermon series. I would love to preach a sermon on what this passage implies for our wealth and our stuff. Maybe another time. I would love to preach a full sermon on this in terms of our worry and anxiety. Can I get an amen to that? But that's not my job here today. So let's focus in on the thing that Jesus assumes in this passage to make his case for why you shouldn't pursue wealth and stuff as an end in itself, and why you shouldn't worry and be wrapped up in anxiety for the future of your life. And it's the value that you have. Did you see that? Are you not much more valuable than they? Will he not much more clothe you? Where does Jesus get this from? Where does this idea come from for the value of human beings? Well, in the gospel, we see that God created human beings in his image. The story of humanity begins in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Let's look at this together. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. To be made in God's image means that human beings were created to reflect the glory of God into the world. It says that to a degree, people are like God. In many ways, human beings are like God. Now, that's not to say that we are God or we are like little gods and goddesses. That is not true. We are creatures made by our Creator. We are not God, but we're like him. And in the story of God's word, we see that there's nothing else in the world like it. No creature in the world, no living thing in this world was made in the image and likeness of God, only people. This means that every person, every man and woman and child, notice that there's gender in the image of God. Male and female, he created them. Every man, woman, and child has intrinsic value and dignity because they are an image bearer of God. This isn't limited to Christians either. This is every single human being who has walked on the face of this earth. By the nature that we have been created, we bear the imago Dei, or the image of God. So think about it. An artist can set the sales price for one of their paintings. Why? It's their right as the artist, as the creator of that work. So in the same way, God, our creator, can declare the value of his creation. It's his prerogative. It's his right as the artist, as the creator. And so people have worth because God says we do. God the Creator has declared the value of his creation. You have value because God made you valuable. Would God love you if he thought you were worthless? Of course not. And you are deeply and unconditionally and eternally loved. That's what we looked at last week. God is the source of our value. But God's view of human worth, of our worth, is radically different than how most people assess human worth. You see, the world says that your value comes from what you do, not on who created you. Your influence, your worth. The world says that your worth is measured by your net worth. The world says that your importance, your value, are measured by your fame. Your influence is measured by your likes, the number of followers that you have, your accomplishments. Or more devastatingly, the world says that your value is measured by your failures, your struggles, your embarrassments, your trauma, your disabilities, or your sin. I want you to take a moment and just reflect on your own life. For you personally, where do you think your sense of value comes from? Is it your strengths? Is it your weaknesses? Or is it what God has said about you? Now, kids pick up on this at a very early age. It's remarkable to me. Kids soak up the culture around them. This is why language is so important. This is why saying things repeatedly over and over to your children is so important. They will soak up what is there. So if we fail to help them see that their value comes from God, that though they're not superheroes, they're actually something far better, they're image bearers of God with the inherent dignity and worth that comes with that, and even in Christ that they are a son or a daughter of God, if we fail to help them see that, then they will likely seek to earn their value through all of the predictable ways. Through their grades, through their friends, through their sports, as they get older, through their marital status, through their children, through their work. Now, some kids will be strong and will indeed gain value in the eyes of the world. But listen, this only ever leads to pride. Other kids will not be as strong. And they will fail to earn value in the eyes of the world, and they'll feel crushed. They'll think their lives are meaningless or worthless, or at least worth less, and will find their identity in their failures. This is such a tragedy, because for both sets of kids, they are deeply loved by God. They have intrinsic value because of who made them and how God made them. And that is such good news. Son, daughter, look at the birds and look how God provides for them. You're more valuable than they are. Son, daughter, look at God's word. Do you see who God has made you to be? Do you see what he says about you? Do you see how he feels about you? I'll close with this. One way to measure what something is worth is by how much someone is willing to pay for it. So recently, a British graffiti artist named Banksy sold a painting called Girl with Balloon for $1.4 million at an auction. Was the painting worth $1.4 million? It wouldn't be to me, but it was to someone, because that's what they were willing to pay for it. Now, what's funny about this, or interesting about it, is that after the painting was sold for $1.4 million, the frame, as sort of a prank, was rigged to shred part of the painting, to destroy part of it. And the person who bought it had no idea. Now that's interesting. It's probably not cool. But ironically, after it was shredded, this painting was probably worth far more than $1.4 million because instantly it was famous around the world. So one way to measure what something is worth is by how much someone is willing to pay for it. So how much was God willing to pay for you? First John 4, verse 9 says this, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, listen, as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Look to Jesus. God the Father was willing to sacrifice his beloved Son for you. And Jesus was willing to give up his life for your life. Do you matter? Only as much as Jesus matters, which is to say that you matter infinitely. You have value. Your life is valuable. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how impressed anyone else is with you and your life, you greatly matter to God. And kids need to hear this over and over and over and over. You see, kids need to hear this when they're small. Because when kids are small, they appear to matter less than those of us who are a little bit larger in life. Kids need to hear this when they're worried, as Jesus pointed to in this passage in Matthew 6. Kids need to hear this when they fail. Because kids will fail. Kids do fail. That's part of learning. That's part of growing. That's why I'm thankful that kids tend to learn how to walk when they're very close to the ground. They can fail and it's not as painful. But kids need to know that their value does not come from their success or their failure. But kids also need to learn this and hear this and be reminded of this when they grow up. When they're not as small, when they succeed, when they have strength, kids need to know that they matter. And their value is not based ultimately on that success or their failure. You see, this understanding of the value of your life, this understanding of the worth and how you matter, what this does is it frees you. Because then, whether you're small or large, whether you're influential or nobody knows your name except your mom and Jesus, whether you are wildly successful or you are an absolute, utter failure, that doesn't touch the value and worth that you have as an image bearer of God, and in the gospel we see as a son or a daughter of God. Absolutely nothing can touch that. No thing that you could do ever could. Your value is unquestionable. You have value. You're loved, and you have value. Kids need to know that they matter to you, but more importantly, they need to know just how much they matter to our Father in heaven, who loves us and will provide for us because he made us. And he is with us. He values us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you care for us, that we matter to you. And Father, it makes me think of the psalm where David says, "What is mankind? Who are we that you would care for us?" I think of the whole mission of Jesus to seek and to save us when we were lost. I think of that and I go, who are we that you would come after us? And I think of the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. I think of the fact that you want to live with us and walk with us in this life. You want us to walk with you in this life. Who are we that you would care for us in that way? And yet, Father, that is the clear and repeated theme of your word. One of the many. And so, Father, I pray that by the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word today, you would impress upon us as parents, as teachers, as friends, as human beings, the value that we have and other human beings have because we bear your image and you have redeemed us in Christ and you truly have called us to be with you in your family forever and ever and ever. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please stand. Let's worship in response to this truth.